This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. There have been at least 7 confirmed cases of homicides of transgender people in 2017. And in just the last 2 weeks, there have been at least 4 murders of trans women of color. Last year saw the highest on record. Activists say these numbers represent a small piece of the real picture, and they're calling for law enforcement to increase vigilance to prevent and solve these crimes, stop misgendering victims, and for media to do a better job covering these crimes overall. Emily Waters is the senior manager of national research and policy at the New York City Anti-Violence Project. She coordinates a coalition of programs working to end violence against and within LGBTQ communities across the United States.
I think it's really important to put these most recent homicides within the context of what's been happening over the course of the last few years. So we have seen 7 homicides in the beginning of this year, 6 trans women, black trans women, and 1 native trans woman. It's hard to know if it's actually a spike or if we're just paying better attention to it and if we're getting better at actually reporting it. We do know that there are lots of other homicides probably happening against the trans community, but because trans victims are so often misgendered and misnamed both in media reports and by police, it makes it really difficult to know the exact number. But what we do hear from people within the trans community and trans activists is that people, have been experiencing really high rates of violence for a really long time, and within the current climate, are definitely more fearful, and they're fearful that that violence is only going to rise.
And what kind of violence are we talking about? A violence that's a direct targeting of trans individuals? Is it a product of circumstances in which the individuals live in that are high violence, high risk circumstances? How do we separate?
You know, we have to kind of look at the entire picture when we're talking about violence against trans people. And in what we find in our reports, so we put out a report every year on hate violence against LGBTQ people as a broader community. And what we find is that LGBTQ people experience violence in everyday places, right? So they're experiencing violence in their housing and in education and in their jobs. On top of kind of this street-based violence that people most often think of when they're thinking of hate violence. You know, if someone doesn't have access to safe education, if someone doesn't have access to safe housing, if people are experiencing kind of transphobia at their work, they're more likely to experience that street-based violence, which places them at higher risk for, physical violence and therefore homicide. And something else that I think is worth noting within kind of the current context climate is that right now there is kind of this rollback of the very few protections that have existed for trans communities on the national level. And that's a direct kind of reflection of what's been going on for the last, 2-3 years of these anti-trans bills popping up individually in these states.
Is there a precaution, a recommendation that you would have for people to make themselves safer?
I think where we really need to focus our attention is not necessarily telling trans people how to keep themselves safer. Mm-hmm. They know how to keep themselves safe. They've been doing it for a very, very long time. But what we need to be focusing on are, directing our attention to people who are perpetuating violence, and whether that's actually people who are physically violent towards trans people or people who support environments where transphobia exists. Look at your job and look at your school and see how transphobia is playing out there and interject there. That's where we have really the opportunity to actually make trans people safer and help them feel like they have safer and affirming environments for them to exist in.
Emily Waters is Senior Manager of National Research and Policy at the New York City Anti-Violence Project. Emily, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.